All right. So, George, Bruno, welcome to the Be Real podcast. Greatly appreciate you taking the opportunity to join. Again, as you know, this is the first time, you know, this is one of our first podcasts. And, you know, in my mind, you're the man, the myth, the legend when it comes to, you know, the relationships and things that young men and women should be looking at in order to improve, to get better, you know, for themselves and to kind of take their lives in a more positive path. And so, before we get started, if you could go through the process of telling the world, you know, those who don't know about George Bruno, as far as what your focus is and what you're trying to communicate and preach to the world.
Yeah. I am in retirement age, so to speak, right now. But I don't believe in retirement. I don't believe in slowing down. I want to stay busy and keep going until I breathe my last breath. That's because I'm a man on a mission, and your mission does not change just because you turn 60, 65, 70, whatever. The mission stays. Now, you can't be as vigorous in the mission as you are when you're 20, when you're 25, and you go from being a warrior to being Master Po, so to speak. So you end up being the, kind of like the master wizard as opposed to the master warrior. And I think as we get older, there's, you know, when you're younger, the value of a younger man is in his muscles and in his fists and in his might and power. When you get older, the power comes from your wisdom and your experience. And I've been about going on 9 years of doing a podcast, and I have millions of viewers all over the world, and about 96% are men. I have them as young as 15, 16, when they just first start, like when the young men are getting interested in girls and this kind of stuff, you know, when they're young like that. Yeah. Guys like that, all the way up to men that are older than me. I had an 80-year-old guy tell me that I'm the father he never had. Wow. Because some of the things that I've shared over the years, he has applied in his life. So my background is, my degrees are in criminal justice and counseling psych and education. And I got my master's degree back in 1986, took my first job as a drug and alcohol therapist, and worked in the addictions field. That naturally spills over into the mental health field, where I became just a general therapist and did that for 26 years, almost 30 years. My last real job was a clinical director of a psychiatric clinic. I taught in 5 colleges and have spoken on stages all over the world and been a guest on, I don't know, probably a couple thousand podcasts, and have a background in being a talk show radio host and guest. And, you know, that's like the media just comes natural to me. So as soon as someone says, "You want to be on our show?" I'm like, "Yes, I'm there." It's like effortless for me. But I started working with men when I stopped being a therapist. Therapists talk about the past and why you are the way you are. A good coach, which is what I am, I'm no longer a therapist. I'm a coach. I don't deal with people's pasts. I deal with their future. Understanding why you do what you do, and you know, when the dog took a pee on your leg when you were 3 years old, that doesn't give us the answers for how you are now. Maybe, you know, mommy or daddy yelled at you when you were 5. Well, who cares? Now you're a grown man. Let's stop the blame game. And, you know, as a coach, I hate to say this because I don't want to use coarse words, but people pay me to be an asshole with them because everyone is always so nice. When someone says, "Let me bounce something off of you," everybody's always so complimentary. If someone says to me something like, I think I want to do this for a living," and I'm like, "Have you looked in the mirror lately? Do you look like you're going to be like," if a guy says to me, "I want to be a model," and he doesn't look like a model, I'm not going to pacify that man. I'm going to say, "Dude, you need to, like, number one, take care of your skin, get a good haircut, get to the gym, build a nice body, lose some weight." I'm going to tell him things that he doesn't want to hear. And he might initially get mad at me, but in the long run, he will thank me for being tough with him. But I also realize that, how can I put it, that justice and mercy go hand in hand. And I still have that empathetic touch. I still have that empathetic, like I bear the burdens of my clientele. I don't, like when they're sad, like I can't show sadness when they show sadness, but when I'm done with a session working with a man, I will feel his burden. Yeah. I will feel like that is just, and I just like will instantly just start praying, you know, for help to guide that man. And, you know, I have guys, I have literally coaching clients literally on the other side of the world, Australia, New Zealand, the UK, wow, Russia, Eastern European countries, all over the United States. And men grow the best when another man is firm with them.
Yeah,
and in a culture where fathers are weak and or missing, I don't, you know, it's interesting. When I first started coaching, I started getting emails. I get about 70 to 100 emails a day from around the world. And I never thought that I would hear young men say, "You are the father that I never had." And I was always scratching my head, like, why would someone say that to me, you know? And what do fathers do? They help steer and guide a young man. And without that wisdom and guidance, many men would ruin their lives. So I use the power of social media to help guide men. I don't work with women. When I was a therapist, I had male and female clientele. Now I don't work with females. I only work with men who I like to say need help in life, love, career, and happiness. That's basically what I deal with. I help guys get unstuck who've been spinning their wheels for years, need to get out of a relationship, or a guy, his marriage ends. And of course, we all grow up thinking that, you know, we want to grow up and get married and have kids. And when that dream gets shattered, men commit suicide 5 times more than women. Men handle crisis different. Women attempt suicide, but men complete suicide. So if I get an email from a young man or an older man saying, "Bro, you have no idea how that last podcast helped me. I literally had the gun loaded. I was ready to take myself out. And just all of a sudden you appeared on YouTube magically. I listened to your podcast and I lost track." It's been hundreds of men over the years that have said that. And that just reinforces my mission. And I like to say, be a man on a mission, because your mission never expires. Never expires. Your career might end and you could retire, but your mission doesn't end and your mission doesn't retire. And every man is a teacher. Every man is a student. I can still learn from people in the same way that I teach people. You know, I think every man needs to be open to all experiences. Because you just never know, you never know what experience is just going to flip a switch inside of you and change everything to make you unrecognizable by this time next year. And I'm not one of these guys that's like a 30 days to a new you, 60 days to a new you. Change never happens fast. You got to where you're at a very slow basis. It was a slow drip. Like, no one becomes an alcoholic overnight or a drug addict, okay? It took years of family dysfunction and then relying on substances. It may take years to quit. Some guys do it cold turkey. Some guys can just turn down the drugs, turn down the alcohol a little bit, or whatever the addiction is, you know, certain things. But the idea is, I like to say, by this time next year, I give people a year to change, because that's reasonable. If you can do it in less than a year, fantastic. Most guys need a year, because, you know, people say, well, you develop new habits, and like I've heard a number of things. It could be like 3 weeks, 6 weeks, whatever, but are they lasting habits? You know, give yourself a year to lose that 100 pounds, whatever. You know, it's interesting. A guy who might be 100 pounds overweight, and I said, "Did you wake up one day and you were 100 pounds heavier?" And he goes, "No." And I said, "Well, how did you get to be 100 pounds overweight?" And they start telling me, and I said, okay, it was like one donut at a time, one slice of pizza at a time, yeah. like that kind of thing, you know, yeah. and you get, people don't gain weight 1 pound at a time. You gain weight 1 gram, 1 ounce at a time. So how do you lose weight? 1 gram at a time, 1 ounce at a time. Yeah, people say, well, I gotta lose 20 pounds. I'm like, why don't we just start with 1 ounce? So. Let's start with small things and create some small victories, because after you lose 1 ounce, it's easier to lose 2 ounces than three, than four. Let's not even talk pounds. Let's just talk ounces, because that's how you put on the weight, 1 ounce at a time.
Yeah. So typically it's like when these men are coming to you, what are they coming seeking guidance with? Typically, is there something that, you know, you have, you know, more focus on, or is it across the board?
Issues. You know, unlike when I did therapy, where I worked with all kinds of people with all kinds of problems, I found that if you're a generalist, like for instance, when I drove a BMW, I did not take my BMW to the mechanic that I had when I had a Ford. I took my BMW to a German car specialist. Those guys know the Beamers better than anyone. When I got the Toyota Celica Supra, I like higher performance vehicles, I took it to a guy who dealt with high performance Japanese vehicles. You know, I'm not going to take it to just Pep Boys or some like Joe Schmo mechanic, something like that. Well, I decided to specialize in working with men who are in acute distress as the result of a breakup or a divorce. And not only did I go through that myself, and I'm not a marriage counselor. I'm not a relationship counselor. I did not have a long, happy, healthy marriage. So I'm not qualified to teach people how to have a long, happy, healthy marriage. But I'll tell you what, there were times, this is several decades ago, when I almost had the gun to my head that I finally pulled it down. And there's certain reasons why I did it. And as a result of that, I'm like, I lived, I survived. I made it through something that a lot of guys don't make it through. When guys are going through hard times, there's two lies that men believe. Number one is that they're the only one going through it. And number two, that it will never end. And both of those are lies from the pit of hell. I can tell you right now that your problems are temporary, number one, and you're not the only one going through it. That's why men need to work with other men. Iron sharpens iron.
Yes. I agree 100%. And to your point, it's like a lot of men don't have that father-like figure that they could actually reach out to get that guidance and support that they actually need during a period, you know, like that, in my mind. So that kind of makes your role, what you're doing, critical, you know, to young men, older men, you know what I mean, to make, you know, everything better as far as relationships and situations. Yeah. And what they need to do to get through certain struggles in their lives.
And, you know, Brian, the guy who picks up your trash, when he goes through a divorce, he doesn't hurt any less or any more than the CEO hurts when he goes through a divorce. Yeah. Divorce and crisis is the great equalizer. It doesn't matter. It spans all socioeconomic lines. Pain is something that all men deal with. But not all men have the resources to deal with it. Many men will listen from afar. They will listen to a podcast. And then when they need that one-to-one, kind of like what we're doing right now, this is exactly how I work with men. The way that I'm talking with you right now, this is the format that I use when I work with men through Zoom calls. I find that every good sales trainer knows this, that people are silently begging to be led. They don't want suggestions. Mm. They want someone to say, do this. Can you imagine going to the gym and, you know, you hire a personal trainer and he's giving you a choice? Well, you can do this, this, or this. And you're like, wait a minute, dude, you're the expert. You're the professional. Tell me what to do. I need to lose weight. I want to muscle up. The same thing with a guy in crisis. I don't want to give him five different options. I'm going to say, you need to do this. When you wake up tomorrow morning, I need you to do A, B, and C, and then I will talk to you tomorrow afternoon or tomorrow evening or at the end of your day. You are to text me and let me know if you accomplished A, B, and C. And if you didn't, what hindered you from doing it? Because the things that help men change, there's two things that will help a man change everything. That's hard deadlines and accountability. Someone to report back to. And I'm not much, I'm not a shamer. I'm not going to go, well, shame on you because you didn't achieve that goal or you didn't do this or that. I'll say, okay, well, maybe the time frame was too short. I'll give you 2 days now to get it done instead of 1 day, you know, and you start working with people. You personalize kind of like a recovery or a treatment program for them because one size fits all. Some guys could be going through a hard divorce and all they need to do is just like bed down another woman. You know, they pick up some chick and they spend a night with a girl and they feel better, you know, for some reason. Other guys will do it and say, man, I feel emptier. It didn't help. You know what I mean? So every guy is different. Every guy is different. But I will tell you this, that sex, just like drugs and alcohol, can be a drug. Literally, you know, when you wake up in the morning from the intoxicating event, whether it be sex, drugs, or alcohol, the problem is still there. And you did nothing to alleviate that problem or solve that problem. You just shoved it aside for a few hours, but you still have to wake up to it. And there's still a stranger in your bed. And I know when I got tired of that nonsense, I got tired of washing my sheets and pillowcases, you know, because, you invite a girl over, man. You know, you want that fresh bed going on. And I was tired. I was tired of stripping that bed down 3 times a week. I was tired of it. And then, of course.
Yeah, you were clean coming in and going out.
And then women use your bathroom. Okay. And first of all, they search your medicine cabinet. Let's get real. Okay. They use your toothpaste. They use your stuff, whatever. They use your brush and your comb. So I will never forget in a million years, the blonde hair girl saying to me, I noticed long blonde hair in the brush. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's a good thing my daughter has long blonde hair, you know? So I'm like,
yeah, car,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. So the thing is, you know, like women will leave a pair of panties on the back of a doorknob. You know, they'll leave leave a piece of makeup. I left my lip gloss on your nightstand. Oh, I'm like, oh crap, because the new girl is going to see that now. You know what I mean? And like, here's another thing. when you invite a woman over your head, and I'm keeping it real. That's one thing, I'm keeping it real here. Okay.
Yeah, that's
a girl.
Yeah, not,
women
got
come
to,
over,
got
they
to.
Sit on the side of your bed. They always take off their earrings. They put their earrings on your nightstand. Okay. Okay. For one reason. To kind of claim the territory. All right. So I'll never forget when I was moving from my last, from the previous residence to where I'm at now, I'm looking in the top drawer of my nightstand. There's about 20 different pairs of earrings. And I'm like, because I would open up the drawer and sweep them in there real quick because I didn't want. And before the new gal comes over, you're like running through the house looking for panties on doorknobs, maybe a lip gloss that was left behind, you know, and that game gets old. After a while. That is one dysfunctional way of dealing with pain. But when you wake up, like I said, when that chick does the walk of shame out to her car in the morning and you're left there with two empty coffee cups at the kitchen table, you know, and you're looking at pictures of your wife that you hid in the drawer or your kids, this random stranger that you found did not make things feel better. That empty bottle did not make things feel better. That vaping pen did not make things feel better. Those gummies that you took, that thing that you snorted, that whatever it was, did not alleviate the issue. So I teach men, number one, hard deadlines and accountability. And, you know, a lot of guys are not used to reporting their behavior to another man. They're not used to it. But once they do that, holy cow, it's liberating for that man because we harbor so many secrets in us. You know what I mean? Like, you know, the thing is this, people talk under two circumstances, either with a coach that they pay a lot of money to talk to or when they're drunk or high or under the influence. You know what I mean? Alcohol and drugs is a truth serum. Think about it. That's why we invite women out for cocktails. You know what I mean? You are more likely to hook up after meeting a woman for cocktails than you are meeting her for breakfast for coffee.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That's just the way it is.
100%.
So this is guy talk here. This is, we're just keeping it real.
Yeah, it's real. Yeah, I was, like I said, I was talking about something about it last night, and I feel bad for his generation. And so, you know, in my mind, you know, fundamentally, you know, we're men are men and women are women. You know what I mean? And even regardless of the years that pass, fundamentally, we're still men and women. So certain aspects of who we are by nature doesn't change. But today, in today's society, it's like with the oncoming of social media and different things that are actually out there and what people have access to, I just think that it's completely kind of demoralized our society, right? Where nothing's really taboo anymore. And it's like, and then you have everybody just doing everything in regards that, in regards of what people perceive as happiness, you know, which is often fleeting. The minute that they start feeling those moments of unhappiness, they're quick to leave. You know what I mean? If you're in a relationship, be it married or not, you know, and then especially in my mind, women, I think nowadays it's like men are the more likely to stay. I was looking at some statistic the other day, and it says 70% of divorces here in the U.S. are initiated by women. You know what I mean? And in my mind, that's staggering. You know what I mean? And so, and what does that mean? What does that say about women?
Well, you know, number goes up to as high as 90% if the woman is well educated. Yeah.
Wow.
And the latest statistics were divorce across the board. It doesn't matter if you're Christian, if you're Muslim, doesn't matter if you're an atheist. 56%, more than half of all marriages, end in divorce. Second marriage is even higher. Third marriage is even higher than that. Now, if you and I went skydiving and I was teaching you how to pack your chute and, you know, roll it up and put it on, and we go through all the training, and I said to you, well, this parachute only opens 44% of the time. You'd be like, what?
No.
Like, would you go up in a plane and jump out? Of course not. Now,
no.
Tell a man who's getting married, you have a 44% chance of succeeding and a 56% chance of failing in this marriage. He'll call you negative. Oh, you're being negative. You're one of those haters. Really? Numbers don't lie, bro. Numbers don't lie.
Yeah.
I know guys that are like, well, you just got to marry a woman who doesn't believe in divorce. Show me a woman that does, all right? When you get married, everybody's till death do us part, for richer, for poorer, sickness and health. Something happened. And women reserve the right to change their mind at any given moment in a marriage.
Yes.
She could be in a bad mood, and of course, it's always your fault, always, because you're not the man that I married. Well, no shit, sister. You're not the woman. You're not the woman that I married, because we all change. We all change, and hopefully it's for the better. But the reality is, women have different expectations than men. Men have different expectations than women. And I think, like, for instance, I think what happens is we end up placing too much higher expectations than we should on certain things. Like, for instance, I don't need to like my work. My work needs to make money. That's why I work, to make money, pay bills, get ahead in life. Okay. If you happen to like your job, that's a plus. Yep. Okay. But I don't need my job to meet all my needs. In the same way, I don't need a wife to meet all my needs, because she can't. All right. If my wife is not a horror movie fan and she only likes romantic comedies, I'm not going to sit there and be mad. Like, you don't like the kind of movies that I like. Guess what? Go get a buddy and a friend who likes horror movies and go to the movies with a buddy. You know, expecting somebody to perform in a way that they don't prefer is just having unrealistic expectations. So, you know, some guys like, yeah, I would love to be able to go to the gym every day with my wife and we work out together. And her idea of working out is just walking around the block. You know what I mean? Or or getting on an exercise bike at home, or like whatever, you know what I mean? What brings people together is values, not similarities. Yeah. And, you know, like if I meet a woman and she likes skydiving, you ain't getting me jumping out of a plane. That ain't going to happen. I don't care how much I love her. Yeah. I'll be there. I'll be there. Hi, honey.
I'll
be waving at you.
Yeah, on the way out and on our way down.
You know what I mean? And I'll be there to give you a big hug when you land and all this kind of stuff like that. But don't expect me to get in a plane and jump out. So, we have unrealistic expectations of our marital partners and girlfriends. And the reality is this. That should have been checked out when you were dating, when you were courting. And you're not the man that I married nonsense that every guy hears when he's going through a divorce.
Yeah. And so jumping back to the whole 90% divorce rate for women that are actually educated. So in your opinion, it's like considering, I'm pretty sure that over time, the divorce rate primarily driven by women has gone up significantly. And so what in your mind are the actual drivers for that? Have their expectations for men changed, or has their focus in regards to, in regards to relationships as far as, hey, you know what I mean? I'm in it now, right? Everything that a man can do and own, I can do that as a woman, you know, men, you know what I mean? It's like, they're not as important as they once were, you know, from a woman's perspective. And so in your mind, it's like, what's kind of changed from a woman's perspective? I know, you know, speculating.
It's the same thing that happened with like with politics. I grew up with Republicans, Democrats, independents that didn't hate each other. Now, all the political parties are all hating each other. And I'm like, what the heck happened? You know what happened? The 24-hour news cycle. All right. When I was growing up, you had a morning report on the news. You had the 6 o'clock evening news and then the 11 o'clock at night world news. That was it. Now, in my area in Philly, we got the 5 o'clock news. We also got the 4 o'clock news. And then you got 24-hour CNN, Fox, MSNBC, it's like just a constant barrage of information. And I've said this for years because this is true, that news is no longer meant to inform us, but to influence us. And everything is just the news is a big commercial for something. They're trying to sell something.
Yeah.
And number one, it ain't freedom. And number one, it's not healthy relationships. That's the other thing. But women have fallen victim, and I think men too, to social media. And 24-hour news cycle, a woman goes on a dating site and within 2 hours, I just had a gal that I know tell me that she going through a divorce and she decided she wanted to enjoy the company of a man. So she went on a dating site. She goes on a dating site within 2 hours, over 100 men were like, hey, baby, you look good. You know, hey, what's up? Let's go out. Yes. You know, all this kind of stuff. Yeah. And she says, George, you are right. Because I am right. A man goes on a dating site, he might get maybe two women in a day that click on him or send him a message or something like that. A woman will get 100 guys in the first hour or two. So women are presented with choices like a little kid in a candy store. It's like they want to lick all the ice cream. They want to sample everything. But in the real world, there's no way 100 men will hit on a woman in 2 hours. Ain't going to happen. If a woman goes to a club or a bar, there might be two or three guys that hit on her, okay, over a period of 2 or 3 hours, okay? She goes online, 100 men, which leaves even, like, the lower-level women, and I don't like judging people. Like, into, you know, like, some guys, like, rating women on a scale of 1 to 10, whatever. But let's just, for lack of a better term, let's just say a woman who's, like, a 3 or a 4, not generally socially attractive, she can go online and still get 100 guys telling her that she's beautiful. Now, and what the heck is going on with that? That woman has a false sense of herself. So all of a sudden now, and think about this, I've said this for years, men are known for what they create, what they produce. Women are known for what they are. My agency, yeah. My power is in how much I earn and how much wisdom I have and how many, you know, if I'm jacked and big and strong, whatever, and I'm in the ring or whatever, my power comes from this, like that, and yeah. this, okay? A woman yeah. just has to look at a camera, hold a camera out, do a selfie, smile, put it through a filter, look like Miss America, and 100 guys come crawling for her, and will take her out to Fleming's Steakhouse on a first date, thinking they're going to get lucky that night, when actually they should be taking her to the Waffle House.
True. So
I teach men, do not take women out for expensive dinners. Steaks, the yeah. steakhouse is for a beloved wife on her birthday, anniversary, that kind of thing. But you young guys that are dating, she goes to Waffle House. That's it. Simple as that. Yeah. Stop yeah. spending money. Because what happens is, first of all, number one, you're the third steakhouse that she went to this week. You know what I mean? Like, there's like, believe yeah. me, like, I yeah. know a guy, you know, Alpha Male Strategies, you know him on YouTube?
No,
he's
don't.
Funny. He no, says no, he no. never goes out with a woman in the afternoon or evening. And I said to him, I go, why not? And he goes, because you never, he goes, with the way men are these days and dating sites, he goes, you never know where those lips were before she was with you. And I'm like, man, I think yeah. you'd really, he's a good guy. You want to talk about truth bombs and uncomfortable truth. I mean, he is just, I squirm when I listen to him. He's kind of a funny, I got to know him about maybe 6-7 years ago. He's a personal friend, but he has a very specific audience and he can get away with saying things that I could never say. So, but the reality is it's the unrealistic expectations. What's happening, like every man thinks he can get a model, whether he looks like he can or not. Most men are delusional.
Yeah.
Most men think that sex is going to be like porn sex. You know, most women think they're going to get a millionaire, multimillionaire that drives a Lamborghini. Ain't going to happen. He's going to drive a rusty F-150. And he's not going to spend his hard-earned money on you, but he might love you more than that Playboy would, who will jet set you all around the world. That simple guy that works for the state on the road crew, or as a plumber or a carpenter, that guy, when he hands you a bunch of flowers that he picked from a field on the way to your house, that's done with love, as opposed to the executive that tells the secretary, quick, get me some flowers from the florist. I got a date tonight. You know what I'm saying? So,
but we don't understand that. And that's, in my mind, that's the sad thing about it. You know, going back to the dating site, you know what I mean? A woman getting inboxed by hundreds of guys. You know, in my mind, what women don't understand, it's like, okay, so yeah, he's not really interested in the majority of the time. You know, of course, you have your probabilities and so, but the majority of the time, those guys aren't interested in really getting to know. They want access to what you have. What? And then the majority of the time after that, okay, bid you a farewell. Yeah. And then, yeah, and same thing, you know, to your point about, you know, the executive first versus the guy in the rusty F-150, you know what I mean? That probably really loves her. But at the end of the day, you know, jumping hypergamy, different things like that, you know, it makes her happy in the moment until she sees something else that she's more attracted to than the guy that she once loved. And so in my mind, it's like with the women, unfortunately, it's hard to maintain a level of complete contentment with them, regardless of your status, you know what I mean? And there's, because the minute that somebody else comes along and they're vulnerable, and we all are, right? We're all vulnerable in different ways. And the minute that, you know, it's identified, recognized by somebody that person's more attracted to, then bam, it happens, you know, at least in my mind. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think the whole world of intergender dynamics is an interesting world. You know, I will pose a question to my audience that says, if you could give young men one piece of advice, what would it be? Brian, literally 99% of the advice that comes in from my audience says, don't get married. Watch out for the women. Don't, you know, Proverbs 31:3 says, don't give your strength to women. or to those that can destroy kings. Holy cow, man. Come on. And that's the first thing the guy does. Shares everything with the woman. They don't keep anything secret. Women are attracted to the mystique. They don't want a guy that just like throws up and just tells them the whole story, because as soon as you do that, bro, you are her girlfriend. That's it. You become her girlfriend. And she puts you in the friend zone.
Yeah.
Women are begging men to man up, be the man of the relationship, be decisive. It's important. Yeah. None of this, what do you want to do for dinner? I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? Bro, make the reservation. Tell her what day, what time, and what to wear, and when you're going to pick her up.
Exactly. Agree 100%. Agree 100%. And so George, kind of like jumping into something else. So my son and I, we were actually talking last night, you know, a big piece. It's talking about body count, you know, body count, you know, is a big controversial type deal. But he was just, in his mind, you know, he was talking about how, you know, what he identified as back in the day, you know, women probably had lower body counts, you know, or maybe you had five or less before a relationship, you know what I mean? That's maybe socially acceptable, even though I would argue that, hey, that's still a little high. But, you know, in his mind, I was asking him, in his opinion, you know, what is it like today from the pool that he's actually selecting from? And he was saying that, yeah, in his mind, it's probably, you know, well over the five number. And typically, whenever they tell you that number, it's probably three times that number, plus minus
100%.
And that's horrible. You know, in my mind, it's, you know, men are going to, and boys are going to be boys, men are going to be men. But when it comes to women, in my mind, it's like having at high number of body counts, the more that a woman opens her legs and closes them to different guys, the more emotional damage that they actually do to themselves, which puts men at risk, right? Because now, you know, the pool that you have to pick from to get married and actually have kids is extremely polluted, right? And the number of quality women that you're picking from is extremely low. You know what I mean? So that kind of puts relationships in jeopardy and different things like that. And so, you know, I just tell him to kind of proceed with caution, but he's, you know, he's a smart kid and he kind of looks out for that type stuff. But what would you, I guess, what would you have to say about body count, and what would you tell young men to actually look out for when it
great
comes
question,
to that?
Brian. You could take an old car and restore it, make it look beautiful, put new paint on it, do the body work, make it look beautiful. But you know what? It's still got 250,000 miles on it. Okay. The reality is this.
Yeah.
There's a reason why we got Kelley Blue Book. There's a reason why we got the NADA guides, you know, and one of the factors that you put in when you want to see how much your car is worth for it to evaluate is you put in the mileage. It's important. One of the first questions I know when I want to buy a used car is how many miles are on it? But we don't do that with women. The most important decision we're going to make in our lifetime, we ignore the mileage. What in the living hell are we doing, man? So, but here's the thing. It would be stupid for me to try to charge full MSRP if I'm trying to sell my old truck. I'm not going to try to sell it for full price. But you got women that got 250,000 miles on them who are charging full price for used merchandise. Dudes are buying $5,000 and $1,000 diamond rings when they didn't check HOFAX first.
Yeah, love it, love it. Got to create that site.
Exactly. So the issue is that, you know, it's like, you go, girl, you're worth it. All this, you know, yes, queen. I'm like, really? Really?
Yeah.
You know, every time a woman sleeps with a man, she loses part of her soul. And usually it's about, they say it's at about six men. If she's been with six men, that she ends up literally becoming numb. Like the sight of a man's genitals are nothing to her. It's just like, I seen one, I seen them all, you know, it's like whatever. And you know, it's no longer about my special love that, like, my body is reserved for him, his body is reserved for me. It's about, you know, the woman that meets a guy while on the business trip or the coworker or the vendor. and he ragdolls her all over the hotel room on a business trip or a girl vacation or something like that, which of course is the easiest place to find women. Oh. You know, if you go to a club or a bar, you want the three or four women coming in for girls' night out. You want that. They're the easiest. They're the easiest yeah. ones to get. Now, the yeah. other thing is this. Yeah. If your woman dresses sexier for girls' night out than she does when she goes out with you, bro, you already yeah. lost. Because she yep. ain't dressing Boy. That way for the girls.
Exactly.
I want the best exactly. of what my woman has to offer. When she's with me, I want her to look the prettiest, the most put together. It's like when you go to the gym. This is a weird thing, man. I come from the day when you wore sweatpants to a gym. And you couldn't tell uh-huh. what anyone looked like underneath. Now, oh. all right, there's women. I go to my gym. I'm sitting around a pec deck doing this.
Uh-huh.
And in front of me is a squat machine, like a Smith machine. And there's women. Yeah. And all you see is their butt. And they're not wearing sweats. They're wearing Lululemon that's got that stitching uh-huh. right down the middle of the butt that kind of lifts and sets. You know, it looks like the upside down heart kind of thing. And all you see is ass. And yeah. you're doing all the different body parts. And yet there's a group of three women and all they're doing is working on their ass. They're doing squats. They're doing lunges. They're doing leg curl. I'm like, wait a minute. And then if you look at them, you know, they wonder why you're looking at them. Like they're offended. And
oh,
I'm like,
course.
What the hell? If you didn't cover that shit up, man, it's like. Like, yeah. just yeah. please stop. I have said, I can't wait for the resurgence of all male gyms. And if there's a way that there can be an all male gym without it being like a rainbow gym, read between the lines with that.
Yeah,
all right?
Yeah, definitely not. Yeah.
Dudes just working out, helping each other out and shit like that. Not there to like fuck around like the girls are. Okay. Because there were women's gyms. There was a fitness place called Curbs for decades.
Oh, yeah,
it was
yeah.
just a woman only workout place. Now yeah. I'm telling you, I can't remember the last time I saw a woman working out just in sweats and a t-shirt.
Oh no, I was at the gym today and yeah, it gets to the point where it's like, wow,
yeah.
really? Yeah, you're not wearing that to work out.
Bingo.
You're wearing that to get the attention to make you good about yourself and your appearance, and people are looking at you. Yeah, and that's in my mind. And in my mind, I think it'd be difficult. I don't think that there's really a lot of guys that want men only gyms. You know, they want to be able to see what those women are wearing, and the same thing with women. They want to be seen.
Yeah, they do. Well,
you know what I mean?
A woman's currency is attention. There's the most valuable thing that you can pay a woman is not money, it's attention. That
yeah,
is her
yeah.
money. She wants a wallet
yeah.
filled with attention. That's what she wants.
Yeah.
And they're like,
yeah.
I don't want to say they're like little kids, man. Shiny object syndrome. But the reality is this. They will go where they get yeah. the most attention. And there's always going to be simps out there. Like I said, that woman who's just a two or three is still going to get 100 guys telling her she's the most beautiful thing that they've ever
mm-hmm.
seen. And that woman is going to believe
yeah.
it.
And in her mind, she's an eight
yeah,
or nine.
Exactly.
yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. And but knowing that, it's like, as far as, yeah, I agree. It's like, that's the number one currency for women is that attention. And if you see a woman that's vulnerable, for men who know that, you know, you could kind of pick
yeah.
them apart. But women don't see that, you know what I mean? Which kind of results in a lot of situations, affairs, you know, a lot of casual sex, you know what I mean? That kind of kills the soul, to your point.
Absolutely.
Woman, you know what I mean? It's some things to men, you know, maybe, but not as much as it does
yeah.
to women.
That's
you know what
true.
I mean? And my mind. And they don't see it at all. You know what
sex
I mean?
Sex is different
feel good
for men
the
and women. And the reality is that we, as men
yeah.
and as women,
yeah.
we process yeah. everything differently. We will watch the same news program and come to two different conclusions. We will eat the same thing and come to two different conclusions. When it comes to sex, promiscuity, satisfaction, men process things differently. Hence, you know, are we keeping it real here? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
100%.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
No okay. filter. No filter. All right. A guy has sex. He wants to go to sleep. That's it. I call it a sleeping pill. Give me my sleeping pill. That's it. Give me my sleeping pill. The reality is women want to be romanced and stuff like that. Men just want to bust a nut most of the time, and they're good. Okay? Woman wants to be touched. Like, if you get into it too quick with a woman, she's like, whoa, slow down, buddy. You know what I mean? They want to be warmed up. I remember a guy said to me once when I was a young man, he says, I'm going to give you a piece of advice that'll serve you well for the rest of your life. I said, what's that? And he goes, women are like an iron. You plug it in, you turn it on, and it slowly heats up. He says, men are like a light switch, on, off, on, off. And I'll never forget that as long as I live. So there is a protocol. There is a protocol. Women want to be, you know, so-called wined and dined and romanced. A man could get it on, you know, in a car. He don't care, you know, and then get out so I can go home. You know, so we process everything differently, including promiscuity. This is the bad part, is that our brains are wired so differently. After six bodies, talking about body count, a woman has a stare. There's like a soulless stare. And you see it when you do online dating. These women with this like this look. And it's like, ooh, God, like, what is that all about? That's the woman. Well, we used to call that. Again, I'll keep it real. I'll say the bad way, and I'll say the nicer way. The bad word is the thousand cock stare. The more reasonable phrase would be the thousand mile stare, which is what I use, the thousand mile stare.
It's real.
And the reality is this, is that it just like everything becomes commonplace if you have it too much. Like, for instance, when I was growing up, I worked at a pizza shop and made hoagies. That kind of stuff. You know, you slice the meat, you put it on the rolls, you know, the lettuce, the tomato, like that. And I remember when I first started, they said, you know, it's all you can eat, like, during your shift, you know, like, take a lunch break, you want a hoagie, fine, get a pizza, whatever. I worked there for 4 years. After about the first year of working there, the sight and smell of pizza and hoagies made me sick. I was just like, because I had so much, it was like, it was no longer... you know what I mean? It's like Halloween.
Bosses.
Yeah. Halloween candy. You know what I mean? You eat so much, it's like, I feel like I'm going to throw. So I think when it comes to sexual behavior, I think what can happen is we end up desensitizing ourselves to one of the most beautiful gifts that God has given us. And that is fidelity and the gift of our body to a woman and her gift of her body to us. That's why infidelity hurts so much. What was once meant for us. Like, I will never forget. 1994 was the first new car that I bought. It was a 94 Honda Accord, fully loaded, 10th anniversary edition. It was beautiful. Had it for about 3 months. Got a call at 2 o'clock in the morning from the police. They said, Mr. Bruno, I said, yeah. They go, do you drive a 94 Honda Accord? I said, yeah. And they said, okay, well, we just recovered it. It was stolen. I'm like, what? And they said, yeah, it was stolen from your residence. I'm like, son of a gun. All right. They got my car back. Okay. They ended up taking a dent puller and yanking out the key, where the key goes in to start the car. This was in the days before key fobs and, you know, like beep, beep, you know, that kind of stuff. And I remember having to start it with a screwdriver. I stuck a screwdriver in the hole and turned it and start the car. And car ran fine. It would, you know, it still looked good. They didn't do anything to it, except they just yanked out the ignition switch, you know. But I'll tell you what, because it got driven by somebody else, it just wasn't the same. And I couldn't wait to trade that sucker in, man, because what I once valued and paid good money for and sacrificed for got driven by some hooligans. And you know what? What I just told you has nothing to do with cars.
Yes.
It wasn't the thing.
So take it into consideration. So a woman that has a high body count that's in a relationship, what does it look like in regards to their ability to maintain, you know, monogamy? Is that real? Is that an unrealistic expectation as far as for the man? It's like, how do you view that?
Yeah.
And is it,
well, it
is it, or is it until she just like, hey, I'm not feeling loved anymore.
Whenever it's going to sound negative, but it's not. Okay. When a woman says, I love you, when a woman says anything to you, just add the words for now at the end of it. I love you for now. Man, you are the love of my life for now. You're so handsome for now. I love how you do that. I love how you protect me for now. And I don't want to say you view everything as temporary, but the reality is this. Nobody ever gets married with the contingency plan. Like, you never hear in the wedding vows, till death do us part, for richer, for poorer, sickness and health, unless something goes wrong and I no longer want to be married, do we part? Which is how marriages are today. The minute something goes wrong, people throw their hands up in the air and they give up real quick. Now, I am a firm believer that if there's infidelity, it's gone. It's done. And infidelity as a result of a woman, I think, is worse. Women, and I'll tell you why. Because women absorb men's energy. In the sexual act, women swallow and absorb inside their bodies our energy. Our seed is valuable. Our seed is the only seed in the world that can create life. Okay? So when a woman has multiple seeds, multiple energies in her, when you take a woman back who cheated on you, you're taking back a woman who has another man's energy, another man's seed, absorbed, not only ingested, because all women give blowjobs initially, everybody does, okay? Which leads me to the joke, why do women smile on their wedding day? It's because they never have to give a blowjob ever again. I say all that jokingly, but the reality is this. Do I want to plant seeds in a field where another farmer has plowed? Answer is no. That leads me
extremely to that.
Well, you know, this leads me to say, like, when a man chooses a woman, choose a mother, not a wife. A farmer can look at a field, a bare field, and see crops even before they're planted. He'll say, I'm going to plant corn in that field, or soybeans, or peppers, or tomatoes. And he knows what he has to do. He envisions a full crop in that empty field. If men viewed women and said, she will make a great mother, as opposed to be a good lay, our decision making will be so different than if we just chose a woman to bed down for the night, or just have a girlfriend to screw a few times a week. Young men choose a mother, not a wife.
So in that selection process, it's like, so what are some of the criteria that you would tell them to look out for? What are some of the flags that you would say, okay, hey, so this is what you need to look for, and this is what you need to stay away from? So what are some of the things
on
both sides?
Great question. I like the idea of a woman deferring to me, and I'm not a control freak. Women love doing it. Women love calling men control freaks. They love calling the wrong men control freaks, because if you got it going on and you are like her dream man, you can do whatever you want. You can position her like an action figure, like a G.I. Joe. Do whatever you want. You can ragdoll her all over the place, and it's going to be okay because she loves you and is attracted to you. And that door swings in both directions. That's the reality. That's why scriptures say that the marriage bed is undefiled. What goes on in the marriage bedroom is so private and so beautiful and shouldn't even be mentioned outside. You know, it's like it shouldn't even be mentioned because it's beautiful. And that's between you two. That is why men take infidelity so damn hard. By the time a woman leaves a man, she's thought about it for 3, 6, 9, 12 months. She's thought about it. And you know what? Women already know who they're going to go to. You know, when you ask women privately.
Yeah. And it's already,
they already know who they're going to appeal to. If you ask the average married woman, like, if your husband ever died, what guy would you be interested in? Boom, man, she's got a list right there. She's got a list. 9 times out of 10, it'll be your best friend.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I tell my son. It's like, hey, if you ever get a girlfriend and she's new, I was like, one of the things that I would do, take her around your friends and see how she acts around your friends. That'll tell you the entire story. If she's if you've had a couple and she's flirting with your friends, that's a big flag, right? Because she's doing that while you're there. Just imagine what she's doing when she's at the club with her friends.
Correct.
And so, yeah, and her friends say a lot too. It's like, yeah, you want to get to know a girl, go hang out with her friends and see how they actually are. Because the majority of the time, if you're not there, that's the way she is as well.
Well, the other thing is this.
You say, birds of feather flock together, right?
I've said this, all women are single. All women are single. Man, a married woman on a business trip, she'll take that damn wedding band off. She's sitting at the hotel bar at night after being in seminars and workshops all day. And you know what? What happens on the business trip stays on the business trip. If no one ever knows, then, hey, you know what? I come to this conference every year at the same time. I'll see you next year. So what happens is, that's why I tell young guys say, where can I go to meet women? I always say, go to a hotel bar, man. You go to near me, there's a DoubleTree Hotel with a great restaurant and bar in it. Bro.
Just a hot spot.
Yeah. Every man is George Clooney in that bar.
Yeah. You know, I was talking to my son yesterday as well, and he was talking about, I guess he was listening to some feed or something, but it had Chad Ochocinco. Well, I guess he came out with a statement. He said his grandmother told him that every woman has a guy that always has access to her. You know what I mean? And I was telling my son, it's like, I agree with that 100%. The more men that she's been with, the lower the probability that it's you. You know what I mean? If she's been with a lot of guys, the lower the probability that guy is you. But that's 100% true. And Mama, what are your thoughts?
Well, I've said
for
years, the reason why your wife's mad at you is because you're her second choice.
Wow.
That's it. She didn't get the man that she really wanted. Yeah. Most women settle for a man. Most women do. That's the reality. But when it comes to backgrounds and such, I've always said this too, that a woman's cell phone is a box of dicks. That's it. It's just a box of hot dogs. That's what it is. I'll tell you what. I was Lisa in a chick's phone for 5 years. She'd get a text from Lisa. Her husband would say, "Who's that?" She'd, "Oh, it's just Lisa." Every woman's phone is a box of dicks.
So with that, so is there a hope? Is there a hope in your mind? Yeah, what are you? Yeah,
you know,
is there?
I think.
Well, young man, it's like, there a hope?
Well, listen.
Or do you manage the expectation? You know, go in knowing it.
It's easy to be black-pilled and to be hopeless. It's very easy to do that because you look at the state of the world and you have to say, okay, if I continue to be a player, then I'm going to be contributing to the degeneracy of today's society. Now, no one's forcing a young woman to bed down with a man or go back to his apartment or go into his car or whatever. No one's forcing her. Women have to be responsible for their own behavior. But what I don't want to do is I don't want to be the reason why somebody falls. I don't want to be the reason why somebody is degenerate. I don't want to be the reason why, I don't want to be the reason why a woman says, "That's it. I'm done with men. I'm fucking done with men and getting lied to and bullshit." I don't want to be the guy that caused that in her life. Yeah. I want to be the guy where a woman says, "You know what? There are some good guys out there. There are some decent guys out there, you know, and you kind of rebuilt my faith that there are good people out there." And, you know, I've got millions and millions of followers, all across the world. Yeah. I probably have about 25,000 very, very tight female followers. And I would say, why in the world would you follow me? Why do you watch my videos and listen to my podcast? And why do you comment on stuff? My stuff. And most of the women have said, because we have sons, because we have brothers, because we have male co-workers, we have fathers, we have men in our lives that we love, and we want the best for them. So one of the biggest drivers for business for me is mothers, sisters, ex-girlfriends who refer their men, their brothers, their sons to me. When you strengthen a man, you strengthen the family. When you strengthen the family, you strengthen America. That's really what it's all about. Yeah,
perfect, George. So it's already been about an hour and 15 minutes, man, but great points. As far as before we kind of break away, are there any words of wisdom that you have for both men and women that you like to impart?
You know,
on the world.
It's going to sound strange, but you know, with men, we always talk about be the best version of yourself. And I would ask men and women this: what is the best version of yours? Is the best version of yourself 10 pounds lighter? Does the best version of yourself read one book a month? Does the best version of yourself watch less TV or screw around less on TikTok or Instagram or whatever? Make a list, literally. If you don't write it down, like you can't manage what you can't measure. You need to put things on paper. Commit, start making lists. Like if you can't afford a coach, go buy a yellow pad and some pens. There's your coach right there. Right. Start making lists and make a list. The first list you need to make is what describe the best version of yourself and then what it will take to get there, what steps you need to take. And ask friends and or family to help you. What do I need to do? Or if you don't have any friends and family, which some people are like that, ask ChatGPT. It'll give you 10 steps on how to achieve this certain goal, whatever. You know, literally, you know, when you want to go on a diet, a good nutrition coach will say, I want you to write down everything you eat for the next week. And that's very difficult to do. You know, write down, you know, every website that you go to, right? Like literally, you can't manage what you can't measure. And until you start seeing with clear eyes what your behavior, what your choices are, there's no way you're going to tackle them because you'll have the same damn New Year's resolutions every single year. Pick one area to improve. Go for it. If you need a buddy or a partner to help you do it, an accountability partner, that's a great thing. Everybody can change.
Yeah, good words. Good words. So in regards to people getting to know more about you, it's like, where can they go to get more information about you and the work that you're actually doing?
People can go to my website, which is georgebruno.com. That's the first place. The second place they can go to is my YouTube channel, which is also multi-purposed as a podcast across a lot of platforms. And that channel is called Listen, My Son.
All right. Perfect. Well, again, appreciate you. Thank you for taking the time, George. Again, this is one of our first podcasts. Again, I appreciate it. And hopefully we can have another one in the future as we kind of grow some more. But I appreciate
your
time. Well,
I got a question for you. Would you come on my podcast?
Oh, definitely. We'll love to. We'll love to. You can grill me.
All right. We'll do it. We'll do it then.
But I would love to. Excellent. We'll love to. Thank you very much.